from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Cody and Gold, live from Chiefs training camp. We'll get to what's trending in just a second. Just a reminder, our shows from Chiefs training camp are brought to you by the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities. We're going to hear from JJ Piccolo in a couple of minutes to talk more about the Michael Lorenzen trade. And in fact, Q, if we've got what's trending, that's going to be number one on what's trending.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
What is that trade from the Rangers? The Royals do acquire Michael Lorenzen. And you look at the deal, I think we're going to talk more about it, but I think the injuries started to push
their
the
hand
issue
a little bit.
Yeah, like I don't know if, you know, would this trade have always have happened because they need bullpen help? Maybe. But Michael Lorenzen comes over. He posted a 3.81 ERA, 75 strikeouts, and 101 and two-thirds innings across 18 starts, 19 games for Texas. He is tied for most starts in the Rangers organization's third in innings, fourth in strikeouts. And so the Royals give up Walter Pennington. He goes back. You guys might have recalled Pennington made his MLB debut this year. Cool story. In Colorado in front of his family. Then was sent down like the next day, I think it was, and has been on that option really ever since. So it's a half-season rental for Lorenzen, but I think they just had to have bullpen arm or a starter. We don't know what the role is going to be. We assume starter because he's only started for the Rangers, but maybe they have other plans.
Yeah, JJ Piccolo, who we'll talk about today, said that it's still kind of to be determined. So maybe it could be more he's in the relief role and Alec Marsh stays in the starting rotation. We'll find out more as they get him in to the facility. Says they'll, looks like to like Wednesday to report, according to JJ Piccolo. Next up on What's Training, updates from training camp today. We are live up here in St. Joe. Still no Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Hollywood Brown, who are out with illness. Clyde Edwards-Helaire actually took to Twitter to say that it was PTSD-related is why he had missed practice today. So hope out for Clyde that he starts to feel better with that. Some of the same injuries you'd expect over the weekend, though. Chris Jones did not practice. No Derek Nnadi, but Joe Tooney did return to his first practice since being returned from the PUP list, which took place yesterday. Remember, he tore his pectoral muscle late in the season last year. Took him up until now to be cleared. Second he was cleared, he was in there at starting left guard for your Kansas City Chiefs.
The fact that he tried to give it a go last year, he was torn pec. Like, my goodness.
I just went to the doctor for one hurt finger.
Your finger was swollen.
It was painful, too.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
I was worried there was something, like, more troublingly wrong, you know?
It was swollen.
I went to the doctor in case there was something worse.
And he was considering playing football with a pec. but just wasn't physically capable. It wasn't a pain tolerance thing. Physically was not capable of
just
playing.
Just wasn't strong enough.
But he's back, luckily, in absolutely a Chiefs uniform at camp today. Next up on What's Trending, the Olympics going on. We were talking about that with Q at the end of the red half hour there. But current medal count, this might have changed in the last 20 minutes, I'll be honest. This is as of 20 minutes ago. The U.S. leads the way with 12 medals, but they're tied for sixth with three golds. And might have had a chance to watch some gymnastics last night. That was on in primetime. And all around finals coming up, what is it, on Wednesday, I think it is. And
yeah,
then
so.
Some swimming finals as well. Plus Team USA men's basketball, a really impressive win against Serbia. Competitive game in the first half, and then they blew them out in the second half. Kevin Durant was unstoppable.
Yeah,
unstoppable.
How about, by the way, South Sudan getting their first ever Olympic win? They gave the U.S. a run for their money in the warm-up games. Got their first ever Olympic win as a country. That was really cool to see the other day.
Well, good. So I was going to say, I mean, it's been really impressive what they've just done with that whole program in South Sudan. And we'll see. This is South Sudan and Puerto Rico, I think, are part of the same group, along with Serbia and the U.S. So the U.S. already played the toughest opponent, though.
They did. They did. And, like, look, South Sudan gave them a run for their money. They should still be happy with their performance no matter what. Next up on What's Trending, the NFL says it will allow 12 players on the field at one time in very specific circumstances. This comes with the new wrinkle of the kickoff rules being implemented, in which if there is too much trouble getting the ball down in the holding situation, they will allow one extra 12th man to be legal and to serve as the holder for kickoffs during windy games where the ball won't stay on the tee. They will not be able to participate in the play after.
Got to run off the field right after they kick.
Yeah.
Because right now, it's not a big deal. The guy that holds the kick, he just runs after. But the rule change makes it to where there's more of an emphasis every guy you truly need on the field. And so it's kind of funny. Now, see, if you're Seattle, you're in trouble here. You've been calling yourself the 12th man. Now there's already a 12th man on the field at times.
Yeah.
So Seattle, it's screwed up. Their whole
13th
thing is,
man
their
on
whole,
kickoffs.
Their whole thing is ruined. Just like that.
Yeah. I guess so.
Who's the backup Chiefs 12th? That's the hard-hitting question we need. If
who holds
it's
it?
Too windy. Well, the 12th, not who's the 12th man?
I don't know, Winchester or something. Did you just put some dude in there?
That'd be Ariza, wouldn't it? He's already used to holding.
Yeah, probably.
And he can't go down and tackle. He got to run off the field.
Yeah.
Can a fan do that?
The 12th
man.
Oh, sweet.
You're
I just
the,
hold the ball.
You're the 12th man. The one time all year it's too windy and
no.
You need it. And then you run off the field as quickly as possible.
Here's the problem. They wouldn't let you do it because of the one major issue, which is when a kicker was coming through with the level of power and force and speed, they kick a ball. Dude, I get nervous. He's going to destroy my finger.
You're already out. Your finger's messed up, so you're out. You got bad fingers now. You're out. You can't. It's not even. You
I
can't
got
even,
one bad finger
you
and
can't
I'm
even
out?
Do it. What if it's not good that day? You're going to the doctor for the swollen
play
finger.
Play through, man. Got to play through. I didn't miss any shows with my hurt finger.
You did not.
I made it. I'm here. I'm battling. Last Friday would have been the day. It feels better today than it did Friday.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Yeah, that rule change. We'll see, man. We'll see how it goes. We know the Chiefs are already pivoting to now just having Butker do the kickoffs like he always has instead of trying to have Justin Reed or anything like that. We know Reed's on the NFI list. So we'll get into that some more in just a bit. But let's talk about the trade the Royals made today. We mentioned in What's Trending, Michael Lorenzen acquired from the Texas Rangers, a one-player swap. The Royals sent Walter Pennington to the Rangers. It sounds as if Michael Lorenzen, his role is still to be determined. And look, you can look at the numbers all we want, right? Last year was an all-star, has a 3.81 ERA, 18 starts this year through a no-no.
So he's been effective.
Through a no-no last year. Lefty's hitting just .144 against him. Is he coming in to continue doing what he was with Texas, which is a starter? And if that's the case, well, then you would think Alec Marsh is going to the pen. If not, is Michael Lorenzen transitioning to the bullpen and you'll just have another guy that can give you some increased innings? Maybe he makes a spot start if needed when innings become a problem. I don't mind the trade at all. It's a half-season rental for a guy that was basically a career minor leaguer in Walter Pennington. He's not your top prospect or anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little surprised at some of the negative reaction to it. Like, I'm sorry, and this is not meant to be like a complete knock on him. Were you guys, like, head over heels in love with Walter Pennington and ready to let him come in and pitch the seventh or eighth or ninth inning? Or did you think his next 4 years of control with the Royals were going to set the stage to a point that we couldn't even adjust? I mean, he's a 26-year-old guy who hasn't broken through yet. I mean, he's young enough that he still could have an impact for your team. That's fine. And I understand you're giving up control for someone now. Yeah, I want them. to be good. Now, all they gave up was Walter Pennington. They gave up a 26-year-old, to this point, career minor leaguer. That's not something I'm going to fight over. Again, he's got velocity. There's a chance he could be a value to a team. He could be a value to this team. But he, like, I always look at this the same way. We've talked about this with, I think sometimes, like, the outfielders we've talked about a little bit when people were frustrated with Renfroe or frustrated with MJ is they've had a lot of, this bullpen has not been rock solid. They have had plenty of opportunities to just go with Walter Pennington and say, this is a better option. I understand that options are a part of this and control and all these other things. But they've had choices in the middle of a playoff hunt, which they are in, to go to Walter Pennington to see if he can get the out, and they never did. So, like, they weren't going to do that this year. So if Walter Pennington was going to factor into next year or 2 years from now, I got to be honest, I can find another 27-year-old unproven reliever and find out whether or not they can be good for me down the road. This is a great trade. I love this trade.
Look, I mean, I don't want to go as far like, oh, my gosh, it's an incredible trade.
I don't know if they hit a home run, but I love the trade.
But, yeah, again, I don't know if I would say I love it, but also, like, what? Who cares? You gave up a career minor leaguer, so why not? Michael Lorenzen could help this year's team potentially make the postseason. I love the logic behind it, I guess I'll agree with you. Like, I don't know if I, like, it's not like, let's not act like the player is an amazing asset they just acquired, but he's someone that can help them this year. They didn't really give anything up. That's a win, right? This is a trade that you should be able to make when your team's in a wild card hunt, maybe, and for some, a divisional hunt.
I'll admit that they do not have the long track record that the teams who really do this well deserve and get for this. But lately, the last couple of years, since the Royals have changed the way that they teach pitching, and since they've brought in new pitching coaching, and they got rid of Cal Eldred's ass, and they finally started to, like, embrace modern baseball, modern pitching, stole the staff from a team who knows what they're doing, they have been better than most teams in baseball over the last couple of years and bringing in guys that are fringe or you're not sure and turning them into something. Cole Reagans was not, he did not cost that much. You gave up a rental reliever for Cole Reagans. Seth Lugo was on the market for anybody. He did not cost a terrible amount of money, and they have found a way to make those guys productive big league pitchers. Look, last year, Lorenzen wasn't good. He had a 5.51 ERA. You mentioned he threw a no-hitter. Oh, I'm sorry, he had a 4.18 ERA last year. He was bad after the trade. But that's the thing. He was perfectly good for a team that was working for him. Then he got traded to a new team that didn't utilize him the same way. I kind of think the Royals will get more out of him than what he's done in Texas so far this year because they've been good at that lately.
Yeah, they've been good at tweaking, right? You know, being able to tweak certain things that they've seen on film or in person, I guess. Maybe they've had people scouting in person as well for him. So that's true. And certainly Texas in its own right.
So they could have just seen him then.
Yeah, and we know, of course, last time they traded for Texas pitcher, it worked out pretty damn well. So we'll see, man. Like, we'll see how it plays out. But you definitely can't, to me, I don't think, hate on the trade considering what you gave up. J.J. Piccolo did speak a little bit earlier today. Q, if we have that ready, let me know. J.J. Piccolo did hold a little bit of media availability. He's actually going to join us on the show Wednesday, post-trade deadline. We'll see. I hope that they've got another move up their sleeve. I think they do. Here's some of what J.J. Piccolo had to say about acquiring Michael Lorenzen and setting up for the deadline tomorrow.
No, I just want to start off by saying thank you to Walter Pennington. I think you all know what a great story he has been for our organization. I think it's a testament to our scouting department, player development, and Walter himself for putting all the hard work he put in to reach the major leagues this year. And we wish him nothing but the best. And on the other side of it, we're happy that we've been able to acquire a veteran pitcher for us that we think can help us in a lot of different ways, a lot of great experiences throughout his career, and we thought he was a good fit, especially in light of, you know, some of the things that happened yesterday and how fragile this season can be. So we had an opportunity last night to dig a little bit deeper with the Rangers, and we're able to capitalize on him being available. So we're happy Michael's going to be a Royal.
Hey, JJ, do you know the role for Michael right now? Is he going to be in the rotation?
Still to be determined. You know, we still have to get a handle on what's going on with Schreiber. We feel fine about Hunter Harvey, but we got to see how he feels today. But it's to be determined. We know he started this year. He's thrown in relief. He's filled both roles. So in a lot of ways, he is very, very good insurance for us, regardless of what his role. And we think it'll just play out in time.
And when do you expect, the Schreiber news, you think you might hear something more?
Is that? Yeah, Well, I mean, he's very likely to go on the IL. We're going to see how he feels. He's getting an MRI this morning. We'll see how he feels and what the doctors say. But we expect him to go on the IL. How long it'll be is really to be determined. But with Hunter, we feel like it's probably day to day with him.
JJ, did this come together pretty quickly then, right after the game yesterday, based on what happened?
Yeah, we had been talking to the Rangers about Lorenzen, and they were, you know, their past week was going to determine what direction they went in. I don't want to speak for them, but I think it's pretty well known that they have some arms coming back off the IL here very shortly, and they're competing to get in the playoffs. So when they officially made him available, that's when the talks picked up, and it just coincidentally was last night, which was good timing for us. And it was just something we felt like we needed to act on pretty quickly, because if he's out on the market, the market can get more competitive. So we thought we had a window here to try to close on a deal pretty fast.
And I know you said, you know, you'll wait to see how things move with just the bullpen. But is there a chance he makes starts for you guys and you guys kind of reassess your rotation here in the second half?
Yeah, there's a chance he makes starts for us. You know, we've all talked pretty openly about the number of innings our pitchers have thrown. So that's something that if we decided to skip starts or do something along the way, we have another person that we know is very capable of making starts. So we would expect him at some point to make starts. It's just a matter of when. And I know Q and Brian Sweeney, they're digesting everything right now and talking about it. So we'll see how it goes and make that determination along the way.
JJ, how does this change the rest of how you're going to attack the trade deadline heading into tomorrow?
Yeah, I think whatever happens or doesn't happen also will have an effect on what roles guys slide into moving forward. But we've got, you know, a little over 24 hours until the deadline ends. So we'll keep working hard today on different things and see what evolves and something. You know, our roster changes and may have an effect on other people's roles, but we're going to keep working hard at it. You know, we've talked about the need for a right-handed bat, so we're going to keep working at that. And then, you know, still, again, you know, it was a good reminder yesterday of how fragile a season can be. Getting depth in your bullpen is very important, and we'll keep working at that as well.
All right, so that was JJ Piccolo addressing the media earlier today about the Michael Lorenzen trade, and then at the end, just how they view the trade deadline. So it happened, it sounded like somewhat of a coincidence, but also...
they were already working on it.
Right, when you look at how it went down after the injuries, Schreiber is likely
now
headed to the IL. And the rest of the move, it seems like if you're the Rangers, why were you able to acquire Michael Lorenzen is because they've got some guys coming back from IL here very, very soon. And so they were going to have a roster crunch. He was getting moved no matter what. It just so happened to work for the Royals. But he also said there he's going to start at some point for us. It sounds like initially, Cody, he's going to be
right
in the bullpen.
Yeah, and I'm guessing maybe because he just went 1-4 innings and they want to get a look at him first. Maybe that's the case. I guess I'm kind of surprised. I assume when you trade for a guy who's been making starts and has a sub-4 ERA, you'd be thinking about that guy as a starter. But look, I told you a week ago, we asked this question to Vern, and I didn't think it was unfair at the time, whether or not you would trust Alec Marsh to make the starts at the fifth spot for the rest of the season. And I told him I would, but that question is being asked now because he's been struggling for the better part of like 4 to 6 weeks or so. And so people are asking the question, do you need an extra starter instead? I will say this is another reason to like the deal. Massive safety net. Massive safety net for what he just said. Seth Lugo is, if he's not at a career high, he is close to it. It is not even August yet. He is already at a career high. Reagans hasn't really consistently thrown this many innings because of his injury history. Singer is going to be coming up probably by the time the season ends. He'll be broaching on career highs for himself. There's a risk. There's a risk that at some point someone won't be able to make a couple of starts. And if you look at what the options were down below there, I wouldn't have liked the starting options. I like it a lot better with Lorenzen. I do. if I need a month's worth of starts at some point, just because I like it a lot better with.
Yeah, he gives you some options because in the minors there really aren't any at this point in time.
Not that so, I'd want to throw. I'm not trying to throw Chandler Champlain into a start. You know,
this two texts back to back are a perfect example of
fandom.
So one text is someone very upset at me for saying it wasn't an A-plus trade, even though I said I like the trade. I just don't think I'm falling in love. Like, Walter Pennington trading away A-plus, like, in terms of what you had to give up. But let's not act like Michael Lorenzen was trading for Max Scherzer either. So, like, there's a balance. That's all I was trying to say. Hey, so someone's very mad at me. And then the next text is, you guys suck, another bleeping move by the Royals. So this is a perfect example of just where things
are. No,
the move sucks. Oh. My point being is one person says I'm not optimistic enough. The next one says that we're too negative. It's a good example of how people view sports in the text line.
I want to ask, so someone said, now I know where you guys cover the Chiefs in July. I want to ask a very serious question. I want to ask a very serious question first. My background is baseball, as you well know. And normally I'm accused of being worse at that sport.
Your background's baseball. That's funny, too, though. It's as if Cody pitched in the minors and the college ball and everything.
This is the question I have about this texture in particular. And look, you're not the only person. Plenty of people hate this move. Why? Help me understand why you would hate a move for a reliever slash starter with a sub-4 ERA who's made almost 20 start this season for Walter Pennington. They didn't give up Blake Mitchell. They didn't give up young control. Like, they gave up a 26-year-old reliever. What I don't know, like, what's not to like? Will it work out? No, every deal doesn't. I can't promise you that this deal will work out, and I'm sure you'll be back in the text line, or anybody will be back, to be like, look, see, I told you so. The second that was the case. But I remember people hating the Cole Reagans trade when they traded for Aroldis Chapman because they're like, that's it? That's all you're getting? And we had the questions about whether or not.
No, but there has to be balance, though, star. Like on both ends. Like,
is that a perfect trade? I like the trade.
Like, just balance.
No,
like, I don't think we should be comparing it to the Cole Reagans trade and acting like they're replicating that. Like, that's all I'm saying. Yeah. Like, there's a balance. It's a trade that makes all the sense in the world for what they gave up. For the logic behind it is all there. I'm just saying, let's bet. Like, they didn't trade for the best bullpen arm. They didn't trade for one of the best available pitch. They got a guy that's going to help them in certain areas, and they didn't really have to give up anything. That's what they did. Cody, so whatever whether you take that as an ultra positive or a negative, I don't know. I just feel like this is one of those where it's okay to say the logic makes sense. They didn't really give up anything. Yeah, it's a nice trade. That's it. We don't have to act like it's the best trade ever. We also, I don't think, should try to act like it's the worst trade ever. It is okay at times to be reason. I know in Sports Talk Radio you're supposed to go to the extremes here, but like, it is okay. We don't have to act like they just made the best trade on earth either.
Cody, can I ask you a question about something you just said?
Sure.
You said if the trade works out. What do you mean by that? What is, in your opinion, this trade working out?
Royals make the postseason, and Lorenzen pitches decent for them. The end. I mean, it really isn't like, what more are you asking for? We're asking for the Royals to make the postseason. They have now had two opportunities to buy or sell. They have bought both times. So they're buyers. Yeah. The Royals are going for a postseason hunt. If Lorenzen pitches okay for them and they go to the postseason, it works. If he pitches like garbage for them and then in the postseason pitches great, it works.
Right.
The same thing as like the Cueto trade. Does anybody remember how Cueto did not pitch well until the postseason? Like, Cueto was not lights out for this organization when he first got over there. And again, my argument is that I think the trade is a massive win because there's no risk.
No,
I
hear you.
I don't know if it's a home run yet.
And this year, who, between Walter Pennington, as someone points out, I think it's fair, for this particular season, if your goal is, hey, can they get better at all, even if it's a smidge better, to help them get to the postseason, well, then that's what this trade does. Walter Pennington, with all due respect to him, was not helping you get to the postseason this year. Michael Lorenzen might.
Who do you think's working out over here? What? I know we got to go to break, but who's this player over?
Probably just like a worker.
You think it's just like
a staff member or
like
something.
Like just a staff member?
The players are in meetings usually right now. There's no way.
I don't know.
There's some guy, Cody's point, there's a guy in Chief shorts, shirtless, working out still. I mean, he looks like he's in shape. He could be an athlete, but I don't know. I thought they were in meetings. I was wondering what you were looking at. You kept staring over there. Why don't you go over there and ask? Why don't you go run over there real quick? Why don't you go run down there and go, hey, who are you? I'm sure that'll go over real well.
He might have heard you yell that. Just tape. I thought at first they had gloves on. You're right. Probably just a member of the training staff. Is it LRZ?
No, I was thinking it was Sky Moore for a half second because he's short enough.
Oh, man, I just can't tell.
Who knows, man?
It's way too far away. Come on, man. You got jury vision. I'm here sweating in non-prescription
sunglasses.
Yeah,
I mean, what do you want me to... I mean, look, it's not a star player, I don't think. Like, Cody, there's 90-plus guys practicing. It could be some guy that was playing D3 could be out there right now. I don't know, or D2. Like, right. Who knows? If you really want, during the break, we can walk over there like, hey, man, you getting a little workout in? And then you can find out who it is. I have no clue.
I want to be able to get
I think they're in meetings. I doubt it's a player.
I don't know.
What's your guess?
I don't know. I'll tell you this much. I'm getting closer.
You're getting closer to what?
To him. I'm going to find out who it is.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to get a photo. I can't take a photo. Can't take a photo of somebody walking around shirtless. That's just
yeah, why would you take a photo? What are you Back here at Chiefs training camp. Our training camp coverage presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. Reminder coming up a little bit later in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll have our conversation we had with Jared Wiley, Chiefs rookie tight end. Cody did not determine
who was
working out on the field. I'm pretty sure
I was
with
the camera around, but I don't think
I think it's just a staff member. It's all good.
Okay, so someone asked for a description of the man. I would say, what do you think, average height? I definitely don't think they're short, but I don't think they're, like, super tall.
Yeah, so you're saying they're, like, 6'1".
Average height.
6 foot.
No tattoos. Lighter skin tone. Great shape. Inarguable. So either it's a training staff member who's an absolute psychotic person because they have now taken 3 runs of 80 yards down the field.
Remember, the heat index is, like, 102, so you're coming back out after.
Full sun, not a single damn cloud, and he's running 80 yards down the field. He's doing high knees.
I thought
he's going to take a couple drinks of water. I can't figure it out.
I thought players were in film meetings. That's why I don't think it would be a player, but who knows? Cody is infatuated at this point. You should just go over there and ask. Just flat out go ask.
You think I should just go ask?
Just because the curiosity is killing you.
I mean, it is kind of killing me. I'm not going
to go over there real quick and find out. He's going to find out he's a.
You want me to find out?
Go
who
there.
This is?
Go. You go. Right, go. Right, go. Right, go. Just go. Be like, hey, man, real quick. All right, what are you doing out here? You with the staff? Something like that. Cody, put his headset.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Down. Can I turn the camera so you guys can see Cody trying to walk over there? I don't know. This could be a wild cue. By the time Cody walks over there, because Cody's not sprinting, I don't blame him. This could be a while. This could be a bit. He's doing, what was the event you were talking about earlier in the Olympics, Drew? Race walking? That's what Cody's doing. Race walking. He's doing some race walking. I don't know if you guys can see him over there.
Is he following all the rules?
No, he gave up after about 2 seconds of the race walk. But he's walking over there. He's walking over there. We're going to get our answer because otherwise I don't know if the show can continue because I think Cody would keep looking over there mid-conversation and then point out something different. But he's definitely going up to the guy. Let's see.
When he
Here
looks,
he goes. He's talking to him right now.
When he's staring at the guy, is he just looking in the opposite direction?
He's like, hey, who are you? He's like, hey, who are you? What are you doing, man? This guy's talking to him. Cody Small talking a little bit, you know? Riveting stuff. He's like, oh, we were just wondering what you're... We're going to find out it's probably someone more important than we actually think after this. We're just like, what are you doing out here? So, yeah, now he's just going to strike up a full-blown conversation, and well, maybe he'll be back in 10 minutes. I don't know. He's just now the guy's coming closer to the fence and everything cues, so who knows? Who knows how it's gonna turn out? I'm sure he's telling him that we were joking on the radio about that. Someone said the cameras are not up for you guys to see anyway. So, yeah, and no, text line, it is not Russell Wilson. We can confirm. It is not Russell Wilson as Cody is making his way back here. I would start another topic, but I know it's going to get derailed anyway, so I might as well just stall, frankly, for about 20 more seconds, and then Cody will be back here, and we can get the answer. And then we can talk about one thing that they are clearly working on here at camp, and it's not just the deep passes, but it is definitely something else, and we will get to that. And it fits with our guest that we had earlier. But people are mad you didn't leave the cameras up, so I turned the camera. They couldn't see you. They were very upset about that as well. We'll let you get the camera turned back up, and then who was it?
It is a Chiefs player.
Oh,
the correct answer we were looking for was Matt Araiza.
That was the punter.
It is
well,
Matt
in fairness,
Araiza.
That would explain why we couldn't point him out because we haven't really seen the guy.
Matt Araiza.
So the punter getting in some work.
He said, "I got to get my run in." He said during practice there's not a lot of running, and he wants to make sure he gets his conditioning in.
I mean, good
so
for him.
So that is punter Matt Araiza in 105-degree heat index running 80-yard gassers 3 hours after practice.
Okay. Well, at least it's a player. I actually feel even better about it.
So
what punter in the league? What other punter in the league? What other punter in
More
the league,
you know,
is putting in that kind of effort? So, all right. Would not have guessed that it was him. We haven't seen him enough. Haven't seen him in person, really. So that explains.
He would have happily, by the way, just sat and chat for a few minutes if we just want to like hang out. Well, we almost should have put him on the mic.
Well, I'm sure the Chiefs would love that. But when I was talking to Q, I'm like, oh great, Cody's going to come back in 15 minutes now because I could tell you guys were talking. I'm like, oh.
I told him. I said, hey man, I'll let you get back to your workout. I didn't want to hold.
Someone
up
says
forever.
they're going to remember this run today when Matt Araiza just blows up a returner one time this year. So hopefully it's a good enough punt that the return doesn't even get near him. But I hear you. Just remember, your punter is running gassers in 105-degree heat index
dedicated.
On his own after practice.
Dedicated, you know?
Well after practice, too.
Dude, it is like, I mean, practice ended a 2 hours before ago. 11 o'clock. So, I mean, it's been almost 2 hours since
That's
practice
great.
Ended.
There you go. All right. Well, now we know what Matt Araiza looks like. There you go.
Yeah, I felt really bad. I said, hey, sorry, I said it.
Oh, God.
We're in a sports radio show. We're doing a show over there, and we were debating whether or not if you were on the roster or if you were a trainer. I said, are you on the roster? He said, yeah, I am. And he was still walking, so I couldn't get a good view.
Whoops.
I said, your name? He said, Matt. And I said, Araiza? And he's like, yes. And I was like, okay, Matt Araiza.
In fairness, it's a punter. It'd be really embarrassing, and I'd feel bad if he wasn't a punter.
Well, like, now you're dismissing his position.
No, but like the same thing you did. You went up there. You didn't know who he was.
Even when I got close, I'm like, okay, this guy could be a trainer. But like, I'll be honest. I thought from the distance, I thought he had like DK Metcalf.
Someone says
his abs were good.
This is
like,
where
yeah.
you should go grab a football and just start punting on the side of the field over here, just to see what he says.
Let's have him judge my punting. Since
you,
I've always
you go
it was
you
really
go out
good.
There and just punt. You just go out there and punt and see if he looks over and acknowledges you. Like, hey, man, you got some work to do. What are you doing? What
Give
are you
me
doing?
A tip.
I bet you he could get you within 5 minutes. He could get you to at least having like a decent looking punt.
I don't see any footballs around, or that would be a really.
Well, he's not punting either.
No, he's not.
Done. I think he's done now. He's putting the shirt back on and he's off.
He was just getting a run in.
Yeah,
he just wanted to get a little cardio. That's all.
We had Jared Wiley join us, and it leads into this conversation because of Wiley being a factor in the red zone. He joined us. We talked about it. And when you think about the issues a year ago, it's all about the deep pass, but also in the red zone. And that is something that has been emphasized already here at camp as well, is the red zone efficiency. And we always think of it as trick plays. And when it works, we don't call it cute. When it doesn't work, it's too cute.
Yeah, so I guess a lot of this is I'll believe it when I see it. I have watched now, because red zone's been an emphasis, it always is for Andy Reid, but it was a problem last year. They weren't good. They weren't getting the red zone gold. And the cute part, you and I we don't completely dismiss it. I understand its time, its place, its setup, why it works sometimes, and why, like anything else, we should not just talk about when it's successful, but we should also talk about when it when it works or when it does, you know, like, or when it's successful versus just when it's bad. And I think that a lot of times people want to just turn it in to that, and that's not necessary. So I think that when we're talking about the rest of it, but I want to believe, Gold, I do. I want to believe that they're just going to throw it to the big guy. I'll believe when I see it. I think it's just as likely they do some, like, double reverse into round to Kadarius Toney, then they just let Kadarius Toney box out a corner. I want it to be that. That's what I want the offense to eventually to look like. But I can't believe that until they're actually there. Does that make sense?
I get it. I think we saw, though, they've tried to do it. It's just Jody Fortson didn't stay healthy. Like, that was another bigger-bodied tight end that they were interested in athleticism in the red zone, having that athleticism in the red zone. And Fortson couldn't stay healthy, so now I think that's something they could go back to. Multiple tight ends, and this to me would be where you could start to see Jared Wiley have a rookie impact. Long term, maybe he turns out to be the number one tight end. I don't know. Short term, I think you're more likely to see touchdown numbers than yardage from Wiley in year number one.
Yeah, I want him to be an impactful player because I want them to begin the reinvention. They have been kind of, I feel like of all the parts of the field, that's the part of the field where the creativity is there, but with the same fundamental idea, if that makes sense. What if we confuse and deceive and move? And while at times that's obviously worked really well for their offense, I still don't think that they just have some red zone horse. I thought that worked better when you had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and they're both in their prime, and you could rely on those two guys to be such a distraction to everyone else on defense. You could almost give the ball to literally anyone and it worked. And I don't think that they have somebody that scares you so much in the red zone, not anywhere, but in the red zone specifically, that all that deception works the same as what if we just line people up in a way that a corner is going to have to guard Jared Wiley. We had him on the show earlier. You'll hear it at 1:30. He's all but a 6'6 to what? 40? I don't know. He's a big guy.
Yeah, 6'6 for sure.
220 probably, 210. And so he's a big guy, and, like, I want them to utilize that speed, and they seem to be doing it in practice, but I just haven't seen them do it in execution. Red zone's really important, though. Absent the deep ball, red zone was their biggest problem in offense. They couldn't score.
I think there's a chance, though, that the ability to have the deep passing attack back, if in fact that happens, you're right, less opportunity in the red zone in a good way. But does that also just make your red zone offense more efficient when you're not consistently relying on having to go down there? Now, you're going to, majority of the time, you're still going to need that, and that's a huge deal. But I wonder if that also helps them in the red zone if there's the threat of the deep pass so that you're not always, anytime you have to score, it's always going to be via the red zone versus scoring outside the red zone.
I mean, I wouldn't rule out that possibility. The idea that you don't have to worry as much about your red zone offense. If it turns out you can score from 60 yards out all of a sudden, it doesn't hurt, Cole, but they still got to just be better in the red zone. I mean, I could actually argue that it was a bigger part of the problem than their offense, because technically, yardage-wise and all those things, they still move the ball. They technically moved the ball almost as well as they normally move the ball offensively. Longer drives took them longer. But they technically were successful 20-20 goal. Their problem came down to the drive started to stall out when they were once again asked to not just move the ball, but move the ball 20 additional yards into the end zone, and therefore they settled for a lot of field goals as a result of that. And so, like, I honestly think I could make an argument that the bigger issue or the more important thing to them is red zone than the deep passing game. But based on the way they talk, I think they just missed the deep passing game. I think they want the offense to feel fun again. Because last year, I think Patrick Mahomes said it best, I don't think they had a lot of fun last year. I think for a good chunk of the season, they weren't enjoying themselves.
Text line says 210. He must be like 260. I think they're talking about the Jared Wiley.
I don't know how big he is. I don't know his weight, but he's huge. He's a very, very, very tall. He's a very tall person.
Let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Q, over on the text line, 913-586-7610. And, of course, over on the stream, as we're talking about, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, we can catch the live stream every single day. My camera keeps freezing up. People saying it's unfortunate for me, the faces I'm making when it's occurring. The cameras are getting a little hot, Gold. I was going to say they're getting a little toasty.
Well, we've got the airflow going. We got multiple fans pointed in our direction. We've got some cooling towels that probably next segment we're
you're about to dip into?
Yeah, it's time.
All right, question I have for you today is related to the heat. I'm going to eliminate the obvious answer, which is icy, icy, icy cold water. The question I have for you is, when you are incredibly hot and stuck outside, what is the number one beverage? You have to eliminate water, because water hits different when it's 105 degrees outside. If you didn't have this, would you prefer a cold beer, maybe a margarita, a Gatorade? I don't care.
Yeah, I mean,
what
obviously
is the drink you would go with? And let's just say you're outside, you're not doing a radio show. You have to thrive anyway.
Yeah.
You're just cooking. It's outside, you can have any drink you want but water. What are you going with?
Yeah, it's probably just going to be a cold beer in that scenario. You know, if I'm on the beach, it's probably more of like a margarita. But if it's just you're just outside and it's hot, then yeah, cold beer. If you're not, you know, even though that's not really
helping.
You think
that hits better than a Gatorade?
It depends on the setting. Like right now, I would chug the hell out of a Gatorade.
That would be good.
I would chug
the
heck out.
You probably get us a Gatorade up there, maybe.
But no, I think Gatorade's probably the better option than what I said. I mean, from a rehydration standpoint, beer should not be the answer to this question.
I think the answer is lemonade. Fresh, icy cold lemonade can't be beat.
It's just drinking sugar. You might as well just have a Gatorade.
I know, but I like lemonade better than Gatorade. Like, in this scenario, I don't care about the electrolytes. I'm just looking for
a refreshing
cold beverage.
In a way, the
I'm
answer
not sure
should
hit better than that.
The answer should probably be something with electrolytes. Today, that would be a good thing.
You think so? Another trade, by the way, in Major League Baseball. The Cardinals and White Sox and Dodgers are in agreement on a three-way deal. Right-handed pitcher Eric Fetty to St. Louis. Infielder Tommy Edman to the Angels. And the White Sox are getting a haul of prospects in return, according to Ken Rosenthal. So not the Garrett Crochet deal yet. J.J. Piccolo earlier today, when talking about the trades, did confirm that he had spoken at least a little bit to the White Sox.
I'm assuming he's spoken
zero.
I'm guessing he's spoken to 15 Kepic teams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He made it sound like that it's up to whether or not the White Sox want to make an intra-division trade. And whether or not they're concerned about making that move versus a team outside the division.
Someone said, fresh squeezed lemonade, that's correct. Someone said, lemonade is a gross drink, limeade. I love a limeade, too. I'm not opposed to a limeade.
I mean, Sonic Cherry Limeade is top level.
You know what? I might have been wrong.
Top level.
Limeade might be a better, really hot drink than lemonade. Limeade's so crisp and refreshing.
Someone says, if it's hot like now and icy, if it's warm, a cold beer. That's true. There's a difference. If 83 degrees, cold beer. Hot like this.
You can't even enjoy the beer, you know? Yeah. You drink it so fast because you don't want it getting tepid. It becomes undrinkable in about 8 minutes. The lemonade, good insulated cup, you might be able to hold for a little bit of time.
That's fair.
Someone says iced coffee or Blue Powerade. Iced coffee? Coffee just seems, it's too heavy. I don't want a liquid with too much viscosity in this heat.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I enjoy, like, a cold, like, you know, like, I like Coke Zero or whatever. In this heat, it's too much. Makes me want to die. It gets warm too fast. I need some. It's got to be, like, a light texture. Does that make sense?
No, I hear you.
I'm something to that.
Pop or whatever is a terrible thing today. But if you had to pick one, yeah, you would pick Sprite versus
multiple people
Dr.
Machine.
Pepper.
Tea. Iced tea or sweet tea.
Sweet tea over lemonade, yeah.
I'm not a sweet tea guy. I drink a lot of iced tea, but just unsweetened. You drink sweet tea? Or are you an unsweetened tea? Or you drink no tea?
No tea, really. I mean, if I do, sweet tea, but it's not something, it's not part of my normal.
You don't drink
rotation.
Much caffeine.
Not a big caffeine guy, yeah. I'm not. You've just never been much of a caffeine guy. As a kid, I think times just changed. Like, as a kid, we always had a 12-pack of Coca-Cola in the fridge. I couldn't tell you the last time I had a 12-pack of anything other than beer in my fridge. Like, you know what I mean?
High noons. Those come in 8 packs.
Yeah, they're very expensive. Way expensive. But they're great. They're great.
Like,
I would, if we were driving home right now, high noons would be incredible. A little water in front of us and some high noon. Oh.
We don't have any water. We just have a football field.
Yeah.
We could sit at the 50 yard line, you know?
Sit?
Sit at the 50 and
at least we have a tent over our head, which helps a little bit. Helps a little bit. If you've been listening to the hottest Cody and Gold ever. The hottest Cody and Gold show ever. That's what you're waiting
for. For a variety of reasons. We were talking about shirtless people working out.
Yeah, you know? It's the hottest show ever. We got football players running around shirtless still. We got the heat. We got all kinds of stuff going on.
I really feel bad. He stopped working out after that. Do you think that Matt Araiza decided to leave the practice?
No, I think he was towards the end. He had already been working out for 15 or 20 minutes. It is hot. He's not going to be out here for an hour. He said he just needed to get some runs in.
I said, are you crazy? It's so hot.
You said that?
Yes.
And what did he say?
He just said, he's like, I just wanted to get, that was when he said I wanted to get my run. And I'm like, it's too hot, man. You got to like, screw that. Get a treadmill or something. You tell me I got a treadmill
in
there?
That's not the same as running out in the heat.
Dude, it's like 100 degrees out here.
Some people like the heat. They get the quick sweat, I guess.
Someone says QT, black mango iced tea splash of sweet. Someone says Arnold Palmer, so they want the mix of both. Someone says crazy, but try Mountain Dew High Voltage, something like a cold orange drink.
I've never had the High Voltage.
I do think fruity drinks play better in the heat. You know,
like
you mentioned, like the High Noon, something about like a fruit juicy, like maybe just like a really cold juice of some kind would be good in this heat.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That's all. That's so my random question.
They're watching the stream. Hot enough they can see gold smelting.
Someone said that earlier you looked a little pale and asked if you were okay. You feeling okay?
I'm fine. I've been drinking water.
You look
water.
Pretty normal. We both have
Someone
had, like,
thought you looked way too red earlier. He's fine.
Do I look way too red? I mean,
I have sunglasses on.
I'm probably a little red. I've been sitting out and
No, I feel, I mean, trust me, we've all been there. I know when I'm overheated and, like, you know, you start to get the, you know, the feeling.
Yeah.
It's not there at all.
What's the temperature of the shower when you get home later?
I don't know.
It won't be
go,
cold, but it's not going to be warm.
Yeah, definitely not hot. I mean, I'm not going like, I, you know, like lose your breath.
I used to take cold showers in the summer when we lived in a house with no AC. There was no choice, dude. It was too hot.
Yeah, there's, yeah, it'll be a nice, cool shower, but we're not going to the coldest or anything like that. No. Huh. Nothing better but nice cold water from a hose in the summer.
Gotta let that thing run for 10 seconds.
And someone says also Matt probably doesn't go to the emergency room for a jammed finger, Cody.
You don't know that. He's a punter.
Yeah, he's definitely not going to the doctor for a swollen finger.
Well, he has trainers. He has a distinct advantage. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They called it severe. Severe sprain.
Where are you at on this queue, by the way? Where are you at on the...
cold beverage.
Cold beverage.
I was thinking, like... The only time I'm outside when it's super hot is either when I'm working, so I would just drink water, or if I'm at a baseball game. And so I like to go the cherry limeade route with a little bit of adult beverage inside.
It's a good choice.
Oh.
It's a really good choice.
You guys are crying about the weather way too much. Well, that was a random question of the day. It was what you're doing.
I'd like the reminder over on Twitter. Somebody said because of the day that I complained about it being cold in the studio.
That's what you get.
Someone reminded said, I think they reminded us of the fact that they once said that I should have to join the asphalt company, GAN, who I endorse, for a day and check in every hour or so to see how it's going. I have to go work the asphalt crew for a whole day in this heat, and then I check back. You guys check in with me and see how I'm doing. Do you think I'd make it? Do you think I'd make it 8 hours?
No chance. No chance.
I think I'd make it like 4.
No chance, man.
I think I could make it 10 to 2.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
You don't think I can make it 10 to 2?
Nope.
Just drink some water?
I don't think so, man.
Huh.
I don't think you're surviving out of these elements working. Not sitting, but actually working. Physical labor. Okay. Anyway, we're here at training camp. Our coverage is presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. Up next, we get to the 1 o'clock hour. We talk a little bit more about the consistency that has to exist with the Royals and what the next plan is after the Michael Lorenzen trade, coming up next here on Cody and Gold.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.